The most eligible bachelor in the world is off the market for now. His Tinder ad described him as one of a kind, 6 feet tall, oh, and about 5,000 pounds. It was an ad for the world's last male northern white rhino, Sudan. And when you swiped right, you didn't get a date, but an opportunity to donate to a fund for the in vitro fertilization that conservationists hope will save Sudan's species. All rhinos are endangered, but Sudan is truly one of a kind, as his Tinder ad said. Again, the last male northern white rhino. Sudan lives in the old Pajeta Conservancy in Kenya, which is headed by Richard Vine, who joins us on the line. Richard, so how did the Tinder campaign go?
So the campaign was good. We raised quite a lot of money, nothing like the $10 million that we had hoped to raise. But then again, that $10 million is required over a long period. So the fundraising effort will continue. And the second thing that the campaign did was to raise a lot of awareness around the world about the plight facing the northern white rhino, as a means to signal the plight that is actually facing many thousands of species across the planet, which we feel is a good thing.
Well, and by the way, we understand you got $100,000, which you're thrilled about, but yes, you do need more fundraising because of this difficult thing you're attempting, in vitro fertilization with this male rhinoceros and the two females. But we understand that the two females are also not able to get impregnated, and so any embryo might be carried by another rhinoceros?
Exactly. So the two females are both infertile. The male Sudan is beyond the point of being able to breed naturally. So we have to develop a technique to remove eggs from the two remaining females, fertilize them in vitro like a test tube baby, to create an embryo which would then have to be implanted into a surrogate southern white rhino female to produce a purebred northern white rhino calf. And once we've done that once, we have to do it multiple times, and then they have to breed naturally amongst themselves to eventually, hopefully, produce a viable herd of northern white rhino that could be reintroduced back into the wild.
Yeah. Let's remind people how we got here. It's frankly, it just feels insane that the rhino horn is so prized and valued in China in particular that people are willing to pay something like $50,000 a pound for it. And in February, there was an attack on a rhinoceros orphanage. Two baby rhinos were killed. In March, there was an attack on a zoo in France. Another rhinoceros killed right in her enclosure as these hunters hunt for these horns. And yet we understand the horns are made of keratin primarily, which is the same thing that's in fingernails and hair. There's nothing of value there. How do you get that message across to try to save rhinos that way?
With massive difficulty. This is, when horn was used for medicinal purposes, then, you know, clearly that was something that was deeply embedded into Far Eastern culture. More and more, it's being used in places like Vietnam as a status symbol, sprinkled onto the final drink of the evening. So it's morphed into something a little bit different from what it used to be, which is a bit more worrying. But I think the only way to deal with it ultimately is to educate the younger generation that by consuming rhino horn, you're killing rhinos and making these species go extinct.
Well, and we understand that Sudan and the two female rhinos are under, you know, 24-hour armed protection for fear that they will be poached, killed, before you can help them procreate. First of all, what is he like, Sudan? Does he have a personality? What can you tell us about him?
I would describe him to being something similar to a grumpy old man, and I'm rapidly becoming that, so I know exactly how that feels. He's got a bit of arthritis in his back legs, which makes it a bit painful for him to walk sometimes. But he's a gentle old soul. He can tolerate the approach of humans. He likes being tickled behind his ear. He's a creature of habit. He's actually a wonderful animal.
Well, and you remind us they have another enemy besides the poachers, which is time. And so do you in trying to accomplish this in vitro fertilization. How much are you racing against the clock? He, Sudan, is in his 90s in rhino years.
You know, the science that we're trying to explore to make this happen is very cutting edge and has never been done before in rhinos, even if it's commonly practiced in humans and other forms of domestic livestock. So it may or may not happen in Sudan's lifetime. And it may be that we end up getting eggs from the females, making those into embryos. But before we can develop the techniques to get those embryos back into surrogates, the two remaining females have died. So it's possible that the northern white rhino, as we know it, goes extinct on planet Earth. But because we've managed to save its genetic material, we are able at some stage in the future to bring it back. You know, I would hope that as the science progresses, we should be able to make this happen, assuming we get the funds that are going to be necessary.
Yeah. Well, we'll let people know how they can do that. But Richard, one last question. There are other rhinos. Yes, all the different kinds are disappearing, but they're there. What does it matter if the northern white goes?
Yeah, and it's a very interesting question. Now, the truth of the matter is we can live without rhinos. The western black rhino went extinct in 2011. Dinosaurs went extinct a few million years ago. But I think what's happened to the northern white rhino is something that the human race needs to pay attention to. We're in the middle of what is referred to as the sixth great extinction. This is happening simply because of overexploitation of natural species by humans. So for me, this is not just about northern white rhinos. This is about human impact on planet Earth.
Richard Vine, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And again, Richard heads Kenya's Old Pejeta Conservancy, home to the last male northern white rhino, Sudan, and the last two females. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.